Gary Rivers here, Mix 98.9. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course. Yeah. How are you?
I'm doing well. You're doing incredibly well. I'm just hanging around a radio station. You're touring the country and you're making waves wherever you go. So congratulations. You've got an amazing, amazing career going.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you.
First and foremost, you become one of the most, I think, respected names in modern blues. And how did you, I guess, get first drawn to blues?
Well, I grew up in Kansas City. I think that was kind of like part of it for sure, because Kansas City historically is a jazz and a blues town. And like, if I wanted to play with other people, it was like I had to learn something within the tradition to get up on stage, right?
Yeah.
And I also was like a big classic rock fan because, you know, when I was just learning how to play guitar, I was like, where are the guitar solos on the FM stations? It was like kind of on country stations, but mostly on like classic rock, you know, so I was listening to a lot of the Stones and Pink Floyd and Led Zeppelin and all that. And really, like, when I started doing the deep dive into, well, who was Keith Richards' hero? You know, it's like, oh, you find your way into the blues pretty quick with most every single guitar player from that era. And I just kind of went down a rabbit hole of collecting records and finding things that I liked. And I kind of like landed really hard on like the North Mississippi sound and hill country blues and, you know, like Fat Possum Roster. But to me, kind of that all mixed like my love of rock and roll and this like edgy kind of loose thing with the blues. And, you know, I sort of found the pockets that I really, really, really loved and appreciated.
Is there one person or maybe 20 people who are your biggest influences?
It's really, really hard to narrow it down because, you know, I like certain things about different players. You know, like I said, I love them. Like Arl Burnside, Junior Kimbrough, like there's something kind of melodic and hypnotic about, you know, the runs that they would do and the riffs. And I feel like I've adopted that philosophy into a lot of my music, but I do it in a different way. I'm a big fan of Mike Campbell. You know, I also grew up like loving Guns N' Roses and Slash and, you know, and I love Freddie King. I love, you know, I like Hubert Sumlin. I like, you know, it's sort of like a spectrum. Like I like certain things about certain players and you just kind of pull little bits and pieces of their magic. And, you know, like B.B. King's got such a unique voice on the guitar.
Yeah.
And, you know, I feel like there's something about like the way he emoted and the way he spoke through his instrument that like I tried to do, but I don't sound anything like him.
Right.
You know, I just sound like myself, but that philosophy of like speaking and, you know, saying something emotional and making it sound like a human voice. Like to me, that is the most important thing as a guitar player. I mean, that's why like Derek Trucks is one of the best guitar players on the planet. He makes it sound like a human voice in a way.
Wow. I remember a few years back, I saw Keith Richards many times just hanging with and performing with Chuck Berry. Did you ever have any of those artists that you would do? I mean, he was like all rock and roll goes through Chuck Berry. I've got to hang with this guy.
Oh my gosh. I mean, I feel like there's a lot of the classic blues artists that, you know, it's just before my time that I missed out on. But I've been really fortunate to get to do some shows with Buddy Guy as far as like living legend, great guitarist, great artist, goes like, and to me, Buddy Guy is one of those artists who just, he speaks so well. When, you know, and it's very conversational the way that he plays. And I've tried to soak that up and learn a lot. Like every time I've ever had the opportunity to play with Buddy or trade licks with him, I'm always trying to soak up a little bit of that information because it's, you know, he does it so well. He's so natural.
Being a woman in blues and getting respect, was it a battle or did guys just go, oh my gosh, who is this woman?
I mean, if we're talking about women in the workforce, it's kind of like, I think every woman in any capacity probably deals with some version of this, like trying to get respect in your field for something that you, you know, you work hard at. I think it's a challenge for every woman,
yeah.
You know, in this day and age working. So, you know, I mean, yes and no, like there's some people who I feel like were, you know, believers right from the start and my gender, which it sounds weird to say that my gender didn't even affect anything. Like, cause why would it? It's something I don't have to, you know, like I just am who I, I'm who I am.
Sure.
And then there's, you know, there's definitely some pushback, and there's certain things that, like, I have to worry about as a female artist that, like, my male counterparts don't really have to worry about, you know, presenting things in certain ways. And, you know, I feel like it's a little bit more of a tightrope in a lot of ways, that you have to walk, which is sort of like, not to bring this back to my new album, but it's something that I touch on. It's something I touch on in Paper Doll because it's about, you know, I feel like as a woman, we kind of have these expectations of perfection, and you're supposed to be everything to everybody, and you're supposed to do it well, and you're supposed to do, you know, like there's just this like impossible standard. And I touch on that in my songwriting, you know, so that's kind of my way, my catharsis in dealing with it. But yeah, I mean, as far as like back to your question, I feel like in some ways, I think people maybe were endeared to me because they're like, wow, here's a woman doing something that we don't see a lot of women doing. And so in a way it was like, that makes it interesting because of the juxtaposition of what they expect a woman to be, I guess. And then there were some people, who thought I was just where I was at because I was a girl and a woman. And you know, so it's a double-edged sword, and it still is. But I feel like what's great is I'm seeing more women picking up instruments now than there were when I was starting. And to me, that's a sign that there's representation. And, you know, I just feel like that's a really positive sign for us, you know, for women, and feeling empowered to do things that maybe weren't really that apparent, you know, being done as much back then.
When did you just get that idea in your head and said, I'm going to front the band and I'm going to take charge and this is my show? I mean, that takes something inside you that not many people have. Do you know what I'm asking?
Yeah. Well, it's kind of weird because I was such a shy, introverted, young person. Like, I would, I remember crying in sixth grade because I'd give a book report in front of a class. You know, it was just, okay. I was painfully shy. And for some reason, like, music gave me confidence and helped me, it just kind of helped me develop, like, a sense of self. As weird as that sounds, it's just like, having that just helped me kind of, you know, become more extroverted in a way. I started on the drums because I wanted to play music, but I didn't want to be in front. And I thought that maybe if I'm in the back, I won't feel, you know, the pressure. I won't feel scared. But I naturally ended up just gravitating towards guitar and singing. And I think there was always like a little piece of me hidden away in my, you know, as a kid that wanted to be in the spotlight. And I didn't really know how to do that because I had this internal battle. But I don't exactly remember the day that it happened, but I think it was just something that I naturally felt like I could do this, you know, if I kept pushing. But, you know, the nerves and getting on stage, it's always been an ongoing battle of, like, you know, these two inner selves kind of fighting each other.
Was there ever a moment where you had an American Idol type moment where you walked in someplace and you were getting ready to showcase what you do and you picked up that guitar and everybody around you went, who in the world is that person?
I don't know. You know, I feel like we talk about this, like, you know, double-edged sword, this juxtaposition. There were people who were like kind of enamored when I started out, like, cause I was really young. And I think they were just kind of like, enamored with the possibility and the potential.
Yeah.
But on the flip side, I was hearing, you know, you can kind of hear the whispers and stuff of like, oh, she's a kid. It's not that good. Da 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 da. You know?
Right.
And so you kind of hear both. I never had this like fairy tale, American Idol moment like that you're describing, but there were people who were, you know, enamored by the young factor, and I was a teenager, and, you know, but I still sucked. If I'm being honest with you, I sucked. And I had a lot of learning to do, but I think people saw that potential, and that was what they were like, you know, if they were excited, that was what they were excited about. And then the people who saw me for what I was, a kid who kind of sucked, they were just being honest. And it kind of, honestly, the negative feedback kind of drove me to work. Like, I was like, you know what? Screw them. I can do this. And it just sort of like drove me to be better. I don't know. That's something else. I don't know what that is, but that's something else.
Well, you've got an amazing career going, and you're coming to the Warren-Youngstown area, and I know everyone's looking forward to that. What are we going to see at that upcoming show that's different? Maybe something from your new album, I assume.
Yeah, of course. So we'll definitely, my band's going to be showcasing the Paper Doll record, but on the larger, the bigger picture, that is an annual tour that we've been putting on called the Shake 'Em On Down Tour, featuring John Spencer and Cedric Burnside and myself. And to me, it's kind of the celebration of this North Mississippi meets this punk rock. It's sort of an homage to Ass Pocket of Whiskey, which is my favorite R.L. Burnside record. So if you do any reading about the people on the tour with us, it's going to kind of be this, it's sort of a special thing we've been doing. But my show, yes, I will be tailoring it to my new album and also touching on this North Hill country music that we're all here to celebrate and rock and roll. So it's going to be a fun night. It's going to be really, really cool.
Awesome. Well, very much looking forward to it. I've taken up a lot of your time, and I appreciate the time you've given me. I look forward to seeing you this weekend.
Of course. Thank you. I'm excited too.